702 Karima's on Twitter at Karima Brown.
27 minutes after 9 o'clock. Now, on Friday, embattled former Northwest Premier and ANC Provincial Chairperson Supramohu Maphelo heads to the court to overturn the party's decision to disband the Provincial Executive Committee he led. The move forms part of the discussion by the former Zuma faction in their bid to reclaim the African National Congress. Mohu Maphelo is represented by EFF Chairperson Advocate Dali Mpofu in the matter to be heard in the High Court in Johannesburg. The National Executive Council dissolved the Provincial Executive Committee in September, 5 months after Mohu Maphelo took early retirement from his position as Premier of the Platinum Rich Province. His fall, of course, was characterized by violent demonstrations throughout the province, with residents and some ANC members rallying together under the banner hashtag Supra Must Fall. Well, on the line to analyze what could be motivating Supramohu Maphelo, I'm joined on the line by Professor André Duvenage. Professor Duvenage is, of course, from the Northwest University. Prof. Duvenage, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima.
Now, Mr. Mohu Maphelo is a very wily politician. He was never going to go quietly. From where you're sitting, is this an unexpected move? Do you think this was part of what was being discussed at the Maharani meeting that Mr. Ace Magashule so heavily denied?
Karima, yes. It was expected. We need to interpret it against the background of the bigger Zuma fight against Ramaphosa within the structures of the ANC, and the key person there is Ace Magashule as the Secretary General of the ANC, and he's closely aligned with Mr. Supramohu Maphelo. But what happened, and you described it within the province, we have seen the disbandment of the PEC, we have seen an interim task team under the leadership of Job Mokgoro, and I think 20-plus other people involving, amongst others, Supramohu Maphelo to manage the ANC in this period of transition. But from the beginning, it was clear that the Supramohu Maphelo loyalist within the task team is undermining Mr. Mokgoro and his attempts to unify the ANC. There is also a lot of dysfunctional structures and processes within the ANC, and the ANC is by no means ready for the coming election.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Maphelo is using this to his own advantage, and at the moment he's using the court case in order to reinstate the PEC, trying to get control of the province. But I don't think he's going to be ready for this.
Now, the interesting thing, of course, was that he was put on the task team. He chose to recuse himself. So what is going to be his basis, his legal basis for the challenge?
Well, I think the legal basis for the challenge is the procedures followed by the National Executive Committee of the ANC to disband the PEC. And normally, if you look at the processes of the ANC, it's not very much clear and straight and all that things. And what is going on there is that I think the Dali Mpofu court case can bring up some irregularities. But at the end of the day, this is not going to make a difference because they can take it on appeal. And we know that the election is about 6 or 7 months ago. At this point in time, the Supramohu Maphelo group is finding it difficult to survive politically. We have seen a month or what ago that there was the establishment of the Mayibuye African Congress, which many people believe is an alternative party for the Supra group if their bid to control the ANC is not working and if they are not part of the list system. And I think the time is close for Mr. Mohu Maphelo to jump ship.
Yes, and of course we see similar moves in KwaZulu-Natal. We have an organization that is also claiming to have the endorsement of former President Jacob Zuma. And we also saw, of course, Andile Mkhithama's Black First, Land First movement with a picture of Mr. Zuma saying that this is the only organization that can actually give the land back to the people. Do you think this is a desperate attempt by those who know that they somehow need to get into government to be able to access resources as a way to get in, because they're certainly not going to get in on an ANC ticket. And they know the ANC is weak and divided. And so they don't mind actually fracturing the organization in the provinces as long as it allows them to get into the patronage networks again.
Yes, I have no doubt that that is part of their bigger strategy, and it stands within the context of what we come to know as the state capture context. And I have no doubt that especially in KZN, there's definitely support for the Zuma Alliance. In fact, I will go thus far as to argue that maybe even the majority support in KZN may go the Zuma line with people like Zigalala there and a few others. But I think their main strategy is to try and undermine the ANC and to make sure the ANC is not achieving a majority, 50% plus one, during the 2019 elections. And then they can bargain for positions. But the first major hurdle at this point in time is the finalization of the lists. And we have already seen in the Free State that the Magashule loyalists are putting Jacob Zuma and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, I think, number one and number two on their national list. So there's going to be a big conflict and probably a breakaway there.
Mr. Duvenaga, that list has been doing the rounds. And, of course, the Sowetan recently ran with the story, the fight back against Cyril Ramaphosa. And the list processes are a big area of contestation. And, of course, with provinces and branches divided right up to the ground, you know, where people are, in fact, being killed off in certain provinces, the African National Congress goes into the election weak, fragmented, limping, in fact. But it has the gift of weak opposition. It's not as if the EFF or the DA or any of the other parties really have their ducks in a row. So the idea that you could have fractured coalitions made out of necessity spells, in my view, quite a lot of danger for citizens, because as we've seen with coalitions, it's essentially marriages of convenience, and in the long run, it's citizens that actually suffer.
Yes, Karima, you are quite right. We do not have a strong tradition of coalition politics, and where we had coalition politics, we have seen a lot of political instability, motions of no confidence, etc. We have seen it in Nelson Mandela Metropole. We have seen it recently in Johannesburg and in Tshwane and also in other places throughout the country. So yes, I think we need strong government at the moment. And you are quite right that in many cases, opposition parties or coalition governments rather are rather fighting a person than they are together in terms of policy and principles, especially if you look at the coalition where the EFF and the Democratic Alliance are partners. In that sense, the coalitions aren't very strong and in many cases end up in forms of instability. And we cannot afford this at this point in time. Also, on a national level, we need strong government. But I believe that Mr. Ramaphosa is a good negotiator, and even if the ANC end up with a percentage below 50%, he will be in a position to negotiate a sort of a coalition, and maybe there will come something good from that as well, in the sense that coalition politics is a form of accommodating each other, and this may contribute to its core principles within our democratic dispensation.
I don't have any problem with coalition governments that put the people first, but we have seen in many instances that it simply doesn't work. What you have is a corruption of the entire political system. Professor Sumadoda Fikeni pointed out that there's structural problems, for example, with party political funding. Parties find it very hard to actually survive survive financially, and they use their proximity to the state to, of course, funnel largesse to their parties. And if we don't have reform there, then what you could have is an arrangement of elites where people just rearrange the trough, and that's how it works out. I mean, the most incredible coalition government is the one between Mr. Herman Mashaba and the EFF that are on opposite ends of the political spectrum. But of course, what binds them together isn't actually policy. It is a cozy arrangement where both benefit, financially in terms of how the city is run. Mr. Mashaba takes great exception to this, but if you, for example, look at what happened in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, if you look at what is happening with Mr. Solim Simanga, you can actually see that the EFF dictates how things needs to get done, who gets appointed, what contracts are authorized, and so on.
Karima, yes, I agree with your analysis. Specifically with regard to the EFF, they are following a very destructive approach towards coalition politics and towards stability in many areas. And unfortunately, we do not have, as I mentioned earlier, a strong tradition of coalition politics. In Western Europe, for example, and other places, we have strong traditions of coalition politics, and it's working very well because the political systems are stable. There's a strong entrenched value system within the bigger political framework. But unfortunately, these aspects are currently absent in the South African political dispensation. And in that sense, we can argue that at this point in time, South Africa needs a strong government with a majority rule principle applicable. In that sense, we may argue that the ANC government with support more than 50% is probably the best scenario for South Africa at this point in time. And I am not an ANC supporter, but looking from a policy principle, looking from a stability principle, I think that is probably the best case. My own take on the support base of the ANC is that it can be anything between 48 and about 54% at this point in time. So there is a risk that they may lose majority support and that they may end up in forms of coalition politics. And then there's two scenarios playing out, ANC-EFF or ANC-Democratic Alliance. And the better one at this point in time is definitely the ANC and the Democratic Alliance.
All right, that is where we will leave it. Thank you very much, Professor André Duvenage from the University of the Northwest, breaking it down for us and, of course, also placing the move by Mr. Suprahoma Pelo within its broader political context and looking at the prospects for coalition governments and what exactly lies ahead. Certainly very interesting times. And if there's a word to describe politics in South Africa at the moment, I'm sure that one can only come to one conclusion. That word has to be uncertainty. There is no certainty as to who exactly is going to be the emphatic winner, if there is such a thing at all, in this all-important election, which of course happens next year.